Morning.
Morning.
All right, we're going to be in Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9. And before we get started, just a couple of announcements and some informational things. If you could be praying for the Lupia family. Aiden Lupia has still not been released from the hospital. He had surgery on Thursday, and he's not feeling well. He's in a lot of pain. He's not taking in any kind of nourishment. So they're really begging you to pray for God to intercede so that he will have a bowel movement, so that he'll start eating again, feel better, and he can come home. So he's only 3 years old, so I can imagine there's many mothers out here as you think your three-year-old in that kind of pain and discomfort. So please pray for the Lupia family. It's Aiden Lupia, and he is quite the character. So we look forward to having him back, and the Lupia's with us. And Amy has been out there since the surgery, so she's been there all this weekend. So we'd love to see a miracle happen to him, come home today or tomorrow. So pray for them. And then also we have the Party and Wood family. Melissa Wood, her father, passed on to be with the Lord. Friday night into Saturday morning, if I'm correct, and he was sick for a few weeks, but it wasn't thought to be life-threatening, and he went quickly, and he knew the Lord is Jesus, Lord and Savior, as through his testimony. So he's at home with the King of Kings, but it's left a void in the hearts of Melissa. And Kat is coming home tonight, which if anybody is available at 10:30 this evening to pick up Kat from the Albany airport. Oh, you're doing it? Okay, never mind. That's already been taken care of. It's awesome. Please do that. She's trying to get home. And so pray for the Party Wood family as there's teenagers that are trying to get their head wrapped around the fact they lost a grandfather. Also to see their mother is upset and hurt, like rightfully so. You know, death is one of those things that it brings, it's very sobering. It shows us where we are, that we are all fragile, that at any time it can come. And then when someone leaves, although we will see them again, because we like to say, see you later, right? We're still going to miss them, right? We're going to miss that advice. We're going to miss the smiles. We're going to miss the quirkiness of them. So just pray for them. And I just did a funeral on Friday, and I was able to see Linda Hoffman's father went off to be or mother went off to be with the Lord as well. So it's one of those things that's very sobering. It's a time for you to think about it. As Christians, we are to celebrate the fact that someone's going home. Amen? But our hearts are heavy when we lose a loved one. So we're going to pray for not only Aiden, but we're going to pray for the Wood or the Party Wood family. And I'm going to ask Jeff Geip, he's the guy up front. He's going to stand and pray for both the Lupias and the Wood Party family, please.
Father, we just come before your strength today, Lord. It just humbles us to know that we can come before you and ask anything in your name, Lord. So today, we have heavy hearts, Lord, with little Aiden. Father, I just pray in Jesus' name that Jehovah Rapha be the one who heals him. I pray that you would touch him. I pray that you would touch that family, Lord, give them comfort. Lord, as Cecil said, just amaze the doctors, amaze everyone. Just allow this kid to do what he has to do to get nourishment into his body, Father. We beg of that today, Father, that today at this time in the morning, Lord, that they would see something happen because it was your hand that touched them. Nothing we can do on this earth, but only you can do on this earth. And Father, as well as my brother and sister losing their dad, Lord, I know it is very sobering, Father, to know that one day this is all coming our way. And I just pray for the Party family, Lord. And Lord, I just ask in Jesus' name that you would comfort each and every one of them. Also in this time of trial, Lord, sometimes things happen like this for us to learn from, and it's uncomfortable learning, but I just pray right now, Lord, in Jesus' name for comfort. And we just praise you that we have a family of God, brothers and sisters in Christ in here, Lord, that can come behind us and back us up, because sometimes, Lord, out in the world, if we had this situation, there's no one. We don't have anyone to lean upon, but here we have all things in common. We thank you that we have brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. So we just praise you for this day and this time in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 All right, and then also I need to give out some birth certificates. Birth certificates.
Wow.
But it is new birth, right? It's baptism. So that was
second birth.
Yeah, second birth. So wow. You know, birth certificates at Bethel Baptist Church. I can see the write up on that one. All right. So Cindy Appel, did I say that right?
Yes.
All right, here's yours. Yeah, absolutely. Kevin Pinkos. And then I'm going to have Sarah, if you take Brooklyn's, because I don't know. She's in Virginia Church. All right, so Romans chapter 9, verses 1 through 5 is where we're going to look today. And today we're talking about sharing the gospel. Sharing the gospel. I want to start out saying this, and I know when I ask this question, it's one of those rhetorical ones, but has God ever questioned you through his word? When you're reading his word, has he ever questioned you? You know, given your thought where you're at, or where you're at in life, or where you're at spiritually, questioned you, challenged you, convicted you on where you're at? So I know that that's a kind of a rhetorical question, but would anybody be willing to share and say, yeah, God is, he's spoken to me in this way, as an example. Anybody? Anybody willing to throw themselves out there? Nobody? Oh, yes, ma'am.
I get in my emails every morning, Bible Gateway, and if something's going on or I'm struggling with something or even sin, there's always something in that devotion or in God's word that convicts me or helps me see through it, or if I'm ministering somebody else, then it gives me the words to give to them or to pass on to them.
Anybody else?
You know, when I got saved, he really showed me all the sins that were in my life and that I need to get right to be that new creature and walk with him. Mm-hmm. And the more I've just noticed, the more I've gotten into it and the more we've gotten right with the Lord, the more he just opens the doors and just showers us with his love and affection.
Amen. Anybody else? Yes, ma'am.
The Lord's Prayer, where you pray, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us.
Yeah.
And that's just been, mm-hmm. you know, really thinking about what that means.
John?
I just got over an eye operation and things are going very well because I know the Lord was here watching over, and I thank him for that.
Amen. Well, this last week and the last couple weeks, as I was looking at go back into Romans after the, you know, the Christmas and the New Year's, I started looking at chapter 9, verses 1 through 5. And I've read it many times before, but this time it really hit me. And I think that's what astounds me more than anything is I'll read a verse many, many, many times. And then all of a sudden, I'll read it one day, and it just hits me like a ton of bricks in ways that it didn't before. And that's what's so awesome about God's word is it's alive. It speaks to you. If you're a born-again believer and you have the Holy Spirit living inside you, it speaks to you anew daily. And so that's what I want to look at this morning with chapter 9. So if you turn with me to Romans chapter 9, and I'm going to begin reading in verse 1. I say, or I tell you, the truth in Christ, I lie not. I'm not lying. My conscience also bear me witness in the Holy Ghost. Now, that verse jumped out to me. I'm going to pause just for a minute because Paul is, quite frankly, at this point, he's invoking the Holy Spirit as his witness. I don't know about you, but that's pretty serious.
Yeah.
You know, if you've ever read about Aquila and Priscilla, what happened to them when they lied against the Holy Spirit? They dropped dead. So he's dragging the Holy Spirit right into this testimony, and that's pretty heavy. We'll get in there. Verse 2, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertain the adoption and the glory and the covenant and the giving of the law and the service of God and with the promises, whose are the fathers and of whom are as concerning the flesh Christ came, who is over all, God bless forever. Amen. So let's go to the Father in prayer first. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this morning. We pray that as we've already done offering and communion, Lord, we pray that those were right in your eyes. We pray that our hearts were gathered to you. We pray that as you showed us things that we needed to examine, that we turned it over. God, we pray now as we look at your word, as we're challenged, that we wouldn't run from it, but that we'd face it head on, and we would go ahead and just allow the Holy Spirit to correct our spirits. God, I pray that you'd be with your missionaries. I pray you'd be with every area of this church, but most importantly right now, I pray you'd be with your people. Lord, I pray for those that may not know you, maybe they haven't surrendered their life to you. I pray that today would be that day. Mm-hmm. Lord, I pray that you draw your people back. I pray that our hearts would be in tune with you. In Jesus Christ's name, I pray. Amen. So last week I went through these points here, and for time's sake, I won't go back through them. We just talked about where we need to be for the new year and surrendering priorities. But then as I was thinking this last week, how this application points, they marinated in my brain, in my heart, and in my spirit over the last couple weeks. Anybody ever have things just marinate in your brain? God just marinates some things. It just sits there and sticks there. And as you're going about your day, things just pop up more and more. Anybody else?
Yeah.
Okay, there's a few of you. Okay. So anyways, I started thinking, if I took these points that I was going to take for my New Year's resolution of making God my priority, how would I apply that to chapter 9, verses 1 through 5? Mostly we'll be covering 1 through 3. Well, God started convicting me on the fact of my witnessing, my sharing of the gospel. So I started thinking, if I was to take that these areas and ponder and listen to God and look at the right amount of seasoning he'd have on my life to change my heart, to have that perfect marinade, I would have something like these. So sharing the gospel will happen from a grateful sinner, right? And I'll leave these up for a little bit here. Sharing the gospel will happen when I am deliberate about the surrendering and making God my priority. And as we do these things aren't anything you could put with tithing, with service. I mean, anything could go in there that God wants. The next one would be sharing the gospel should happen when I'm devoted and dedicated to God. Sharing the gospel should happen when I serve others over myself. Sharing the gospel should happen because I have prayed and fasted for him to prepare me to give out the gospel. Sharing the gospel should happen from a thankful heart. And sharing the gospel should happen when I am able to forgive myself, because only then will I be able to express God's forgiveness plan to others. Because you understand, if you don't forgive yourself, you can't tell other people about a God that forgives them for everything. Is there anybody in here that has actually sinned?
Yeah.
Raise your hand. Has there anybody that's made some real bad choices in their life?
Yeah.
Is there anybody that if we were able to take their life and look directly into where they've been, they'd be pretty ashamed to be standing here today, wouldn't you? Yeah. But we have a perfect God, as we talked about in Sunday school, that declares us righteous in white garments as followers of Christ, who forgives us and loves us in spite of all of that. That's amazing. You think about that. I look out, I see many of you are dear friends of mine. There are things that I could do that would destroy our relationship. But there is nothing I can do to destroy the relationship I have with Christ. That doesn't mean I'm going to go out and try. I'm just saying there's nothing I can do. There's no unforgiving thing I can do that Christ will not forgive me for. That is amazing to me. So as I look at that, that's how I have to forgive myself. There are people that will never forgive me as long as I live, but it doesn't matter because Jesus Christ did.
Amen.
Amen.
And this enters Romans chapter 9, verses 1 through 5. I believe that Paul is the second most influential human to walk the earth, and that's only after Christ. If I could be a tenth of the man that Paul was, we would all be better off. And so as I look at this, as God's word gives us a glimpse, this is Paul's heart, verses 1 through 3. I really want us to see exactly what his heart was, because he invokes the Holy Spirit upon himself as a witness, and if he was being dishonest, according to Scripture, he'd be gone, but he continues on. So God's word through Paul's heart made me ask four very important questions about this God. So you're on a journey with me on this part of Scripture, okay? Now, I do that just to make it less threatening to you, okay? This is me. This fits me, but it also fits you too, but it's a little bit more palatable. So, number one is this. Regarding the gospel, do you truly care about other people without Christ?
Yeah.
Man, that hurt. Look at the verse. It says, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. My conscience also bearing witness. Can I honestly say, and not have my conscience say, Cecil, you're a liar? How many of us in this room are born again believers? How many of us would be able to stand up here and say, I love and care about people 100%, let the Holy Spirit testify on my behalf? How many would be ready to get up here and do that? Man, that's some scary stuff right there. But that's what Paul's doing. After God had a chit-chat, I know that as your pastor, I do bear concern and burden that I haven't. I haven't witnessed. I haven't prayed out to people. I haven't cared for people. I bear responsibility for where we are as a church on the people we haven't reached in my life. There was a Tom Campolo, and I'm going to read this just as I found it on the internet. It said this. He was speaking at a Christian college campus, and put yourself here. And he does this thing very often with the college kids about evangelism and missions. And he said something like this. Most people on the face of this planet are lost and dying and going to hell. The problem is that most of you in this room don't give a beep. But he says the swear word. I'm not touching it. I'm not bold enough to use those words. And then he says this. Most of you don't care enough about that. He pauses. He allows all the gasps. Everybody say, oh, I can't believe he swore. And then he says this. The real problem is you're more concerned about me swearing than people going to hell right around you. Man, that hit me like a ton of bricks. Because it's true in my life. I'm more concerned about what makes me comfortable than I am about people in this world that are dying and going to hell. But there's a hope. It's alive in Christ. Because Paul said, I speak the truth in Christ. So that's the key. Paul was saying that when Christ is in Paul, if Christ was taking over Paul, he would be more concerned about people. Because Luke chapter 19, verse 10, Christ said this, for the Son of Man is come to seek and save that which is lost. So the takeaway I have from this is, do I truly care about people with Christ? No, as a sinner and as a selfish human being, I don't care. But the closer I get to Jesus Christ, the more he makes me care. And so the takeaway is, the more you are full of Jesus, the more you're full of the love of Jesus, the more you are concerned about people that are without Christ, the more that I am full of myself and what I can get, the farther I am going to be worried about people without Christ. Now listen, I'm not talking about you winning them to Christ, okay? I don't want to hear that. I want to hear the legalism in our heads going, oh, he's talking about I need to be a soul winner, knocking on doors. No, I said this. The question God asked me is, do I truly care about people that are without Christ? Do I truly care? Secondly is this. Is your heart broken for lost people? Is it truly broken? Look at verse 2. For I have great heaviness. I have great sorrow. Can I, Cecil, say that I have great sorrow and anguish for those that are without Christ? Is this something that bothers me 24 hours a day? Do I weep over it? Jeremiah, who we call the weeping prophet, he said this in Jeremiah 9, chapter 1. Oh, that my head were waters, and my eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughters of my people. It bothered him to the point of crying over those people that were lost. Jesus, in Luke chapter 9, verses 41, it says, and when he came near, he beheld the city, and he wept over it. In the Greek, that means he burst into tears. When he looked over Jerusalem and knew that they weren't going to follow him in salvation. And you see the other account of it, the parallel in Matthew chapter 23. He says, if you would have came to me, I would have hid you like a hen does her chicks. He's crying over all of those that are going to reject him, beat him, crucify him, and just die and go to hell. So God asked me a question. Cecil, is your heart breaking? I'm not even asking, are you going to share your faith? But more or less, do you even care that people are dying and going to hell? Is your heart breaking? Because if my heart is breaking for people, then I will share my faith. Caring about others needs to come naturally, and it only comes naturally by that Holy Spirit inside of us doing it. So I'm going to ask you this, and it's a very dangerous thing. So I want you to just think about it. I don't want to hear any guesses, because most people that will say, oh yeah, that's me, they have no idea what they're even saying. Would you join me in saying, God, I want to make my prayer in 2018 that you break my heart for people that are without you? It could be dangerous because when you're asking for brokenness, it's going to be a tough experience. I don't know exactly what God's going to put in your life, but when you're saying, break me for the hearts of those, you might have a whole bunch of pride and a whole bunch of stuff like me that has to be broke down, so be very careful what you're asking for. But I'm just challenging you, 2018, is your heart for broken and lost people? Why am I saying this? Because I was one of those people. I needed Jesus Christ. And I promise you that most of you in here that I know, you would not have spoken to me before Jesus Christ. Because I would have offended. Rightfully so, I would have offended. You would not want anything to do with this guy. But I'm glad somebody spoke to me about it. Thirdly, are you continually burdened for them? To be, the second part of that. So it says that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart and grief. Paul says it's something I feel a lot more strongly at time. He doesn't say that I forget about it. He says this is something I feel strongly about all the time. Paul was always thinking about those that were without salvation and those that needed him. The only way that I believe that this world is going to change is by the gospel of Jesus Christ. Anybody else agree with that? Well, how are they going to know if we don't tell them? The percentage of Christians that don't share their faith is really, really bad. I was looking at it. I was trying to see how our church ranks up there. There's a statistic out that says that if you have attendance, if your attendance is like 180, 190, that in that year you should witness, see salvations, and baptize of 10% of your people to be even making a mark in your community. So we average between 180 and 200, depending on what the week is. Last week was 160. So are we going to see 16 conversions in 2018 and see them baptized? To have the proper growth. We're not talking about church transfer. We're talking about brand new births into Jesus Christ. That's to be healthy. So are you continually burdened for them? And four, what would you sacrifice for others to be saved? Verse 3. For I wish that myself were accursed for Christ, for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. Verse 3 is absolutely mind-blowing. Did you read it? There's no theology debate here. Now, I've witnessed people try to debate theology here and say that he's saying you can lose your salvation. No, Paul is emotional. He's looking out. He's talking about his brethren. He is saying that if I could give up my salvation so that all of my brethren, my Israel brothers and sisters, could trust in Jesus Christ, I would take the penalty of hell for them. I don't know about you. But there might be a handful of people on this earth I would take hell for, and they're all in my immediate family. Sean Ryan, I love you, but I ain't taking hell for you, brother. Ain't doing it. Let's be honest. Jeff, would you take hell for me? No. The only other human being, but yet was God in the Bible, that was willing to take hell for us was who? Jesus Christ. He took the cross for us. Wrap your head around that. That's the kind of sacrifice Paul had. So then when we read those stories about Paul witnessing, getting beat to death, or near death, I believe death, brought outside the city, and then what happens as soon as he gets back up? He walks right back into that city witnessing. Because that was the burden he had for lost souls. He was willing to give up his own salvation for somebody else. What would you be willing to sacrifice? We know it's not a theological debate because Romans 8 talks about nothing can separate us from the love of God. He's talking about his deep love and compassion for those that were out there. I have not yet reached verse 3. I don't know if I ever will. But you got to realize, to put that in perspective, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, I think it is. Yes, it's 12. Paul describes what heaven is, and he puts it in a third-person narrative, which I believe is him describing his what he saw in heaven. He goes and he talks about how the third heaven is. And he says there's word, he couldn't even put it in words because he was told not to. But he talks about this beautiful place that was visited by a man. So if I go ahead and say I believe that's Paul that went and saw all this and wouldn't put it into words, yet he's willing to give it up for his man, for his brothers and sisters, for the lost, for those that beat and cheated him and spit on him and wanted to kill him. God is not asking me to give up my salvation because that's impossible, but he's wanting me to sacrifice something. You know, and I guess that's what's so hard, and I know that a lot of times, yeah, I tread lightly because we don't have a work-based salvation. It's all Jesus Christ. It's all only by his grace, only by his mercy, only by his power. But we have a responsibility that once we're born again and that Holy Spirit lives in us, to allow that Holy Spirit to live through us. We're not supposed to go, oh, yep, I'm good in heaven. I'm going to sit here by myself and just glean closer to the Lord. No, we're supposed to shine. We're supposed to show people the love. We're supposed to sacrifice. And I don't know what that sacrifice is for you, but I'm going to tell you some of the sacrifices it means for me. And I put this in my notes. I think it's funny. It took my surprise. I preached myself into a corner is what I wrote. I have preached myself into conviction. Again, I've declared before you and before God that I want God to put more of a burden on my heart, a heavier heart for those. I want to be able to see those in need and know it. I know that this callous heart has walked by people in need in this community. I was literally at Nice and Easy picking up a pizza. I was getting ready to, as Jeff would say, worship. I was picking up a pizza for the kids. I was standing there in line, and there was a lady in front of me, and she was getting fountain drink next to me. And there's nothing bad. But she kept looking at me with this grin on her face, and I'm thinking, what am I, you know, I got something on me? I had no idea. But I was so concerned about, I was next in line, she was over here, are you in line, are you out of line, are you in line, or I don't know what you're doing, but I don't want to cut in front of you because that's rude. Hello, lady, do something here, right, in my mind. And I'm thinking, I got places to go, I've got a whole bunch of kids in my car, probably more jumping in as the minute is long. And I gotta go put them all to bed. I gotta do all this stuff. Hurry up. You know what she said? You know what she's smiling about? She's visited this church. Man, why do I always gotta learn the hard way? I didn't tell her that. I'm like, oh, that's so nice. I'm glad you came. I came. I can't wait to come back. I really love the fact that you're able to preach the word and to make it to where I understand. I mean, she just kept laying it on. It wasn't just, hey, I've been there before. She was actually trying to elevate me. And I'm thinking, lady, you have no idea what you're doing because it's failing. But I'm thinking, oh, God, you're dealing. I get it. You're working on it. But that's the idea. We got to be able to sacrifice it. That was just that one simple thing of pride of this lady that's in my way and I want to get what I got to get. But I didn't pay attention. She was there. God put her there. I believe God put her there for me to talk to and say, hey, I was so glad you came. And I was able to get it right. I was able to get it finally. I'm glad you came. You know, we would love to have you come back. If there's anything our church can do for you, let me know. I used to be scared to say that. Is there anything we can do for you? Let us know. Because I'm afraid, you know what? That anything phone call is coming. Yeah. Anybody else been there? You say it with a little trepidation. You know, you're like, ah, F any. And you're really hoping it don't come. But that sacrifice is going to come with some stuff. It might be my pride. You know what I don't? I guarantee this. If you witness and you care about other people, this is the number one thing. Your comfort zone is going to be blown right out of the water.
Yeah.
Comfort zone gone. Yeah. Your religious thought of what you think other people think of you, blown. You know what you're going to find out? They really don't think as bad or as good as you think they do. So you have to get over it. And now listen, I'm not saying you're not responsible for the salvations. That's God. We're just supposed to tell. I found a good deal on jeans. I'm going to tell you what that good deal is, right? I'm going to show a beggar where to get some food. And it's the bread of life, and it's Jesus Christ. And that's our job. It's just to witness. We might be the seed. We might be the water. He gets the increase. Right. And I feel like this. This is my part. Is I feel the more I witness to others, it's just God growing me. It's him showing me things. It's him showing me things that he's done for me. Because I'll be witnessing something, all of a sudden I'll get choked up. And they'll be like, looking at me like, what happened? And I got choked up because God's revealing something in my heart. He saved me from it. Or he's done for me. And so that's our job. And I'm not saying we go knocking on doors tomorrow and, oh, pastor commanded us, we're going to hand out all the sticks Mark's got. But we got to get it open. And we got to be unfrozen up here. And we got to be ready to talk to people, looking for it. Walking into people in the store, say, hey, how you doing? Even for them to say nothing and walk away. We got to look for those opportunities to start to sacrifice with people. If we say anything you need when that need phone call comes, you got to get on. Because they've seen too much tongue-in-cheek or too much, we'll be there for you, then when the time is, it's not there. So this is a conclusion. Maybe it's time to pray, God, I have not been concerned about lost people. Those people out there without Christ are not going to break down the doors of this church. They're not going to be learning about Jesus Christ unless we tell them. Did you hear me? Unless you tell them. And most of the times, we're not going to tell them if we don't take our eyes off of us. Right?
Right.
Anybody that tells you if you train for a race, if you train for anything, you got to keep your eyes up. You can't look down, right?
Right.
Anybody run marathons? How much fun is it to run a race looking straight at the ground, right? You got to look ahead. And so a lot of times when we're out here talking with people and we're mixing it up, we got to look ahead. We got to see the person in the next aisle. Maybe God will, I believe this, God will discern in your spirit something that person needs.
Yeah.
I have literally been standing next to somebody and just felt that I was supposed to talk to them for some reason, and guess what? 7 out of 10 times, I walked in the way. So we need to have a more purposeful. So I'm going to challenge you this. Will you pray for God to break your heart? For those that need him. And again, I don't know what that is for you. I'm not going to lay out a plan. I'm not going to say we're going to take up. We don't need any more soul winning classes. We don't need any more props to do it. We just got to share what God's done in our life.
Amen.
What has God saved you from? And just tell somebody. Listen, I was a sinner that belonged in hell, and this God of Jesus Christ loved me. You understand? That was enough for me because I didn't know what love was about. I thought love was sex, okay? I didn't think it was anything else. But somebody told me that a God loved me so much that he died for my sins and wants to live daily with me and wants to do what he can through me. I was blown away. We're the Bible, the Bible some people will ever read. We don't need any more courses. We don't need more props. We just need to do it. And right now I'm telling you that God's telling right inside your heart right now of at least a handful of people you'd be talking to. Or that are already in your life that he's already set in motion that you just need to start watering. Because there's some in my life that I can look right now that they're teed up. I mean, the ball's on the tee right, and I'm ready to swing through it because it's all ready to go. But yet I'll walk by and say, well, maybe tomorrow. Nick didn't have tomorrow, did he? I praise God somebody spoke to him. Do you have tomorrow? Because I don't know if I have tomorrow. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're a believer here, what's it going to take? Man, God kicked my backside all through this church for the last 2 weeks. Talking about how I've failed. And you know what? I'm going to ask for forgiveness. At this invitation, I'm going to pray and ask for forgiveness on behalf of the pastor of this church of those areas that I've totally shirked. You know, I'm not even going to use an excuse. I'm going to say, I blew it. Purposely, willfully, selfishly said, you know what? I got other things to do. How about you? And what will you do differently about it? Because it's not just admitting the problem and that's what happened, but doing something about it, which means deliberate planning that God, you show me, I'm going to do it. And I'm going to look for it. As a matter of fact, God, I'm going to look so hard, I'm going to make a lot of mistakes trying to find those moments that you want me to talk. And I'm not talking about forced garb. Hey, would you, if you died today, do you know where you'd spend eternity? Because most people are going to say, anywhere but around you is good. But I'm going to look for areas to show somebody I really care. And when they say, why do you care? You say, because Jesus Christ cares. So, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. Honestly, brothers and sisters in Christ, when invitation comes, will you be up here praying for God to move in your heart to make you love people the way that he wants you to love them? Because I can tell you right now, I don't, the way the Holy Spirit's told me. And then I want to ask you, those of you that don't know Christ as Lord and Savior, I don't want you to leave today not knowing him. You're a sinner. And the only remedy to your sin is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You can't be good enough. You can't give enough money. You could give me all the money you want. It ain't going to get you to heaven. You could be as good as you want. It still ain't going to get you to heaven because God says there's none righteous. We're all guilty. We've all fallen short of God's perfect plan. So he sent in a substitute, his son, who met every single measurement. And is willing to stand in our place as our substitute. But you have to agree that that's truth and trust in it. It can't just be a fact that God's done it. You have to get on God's side of things and say, yep, that's truth. I'm placing my trust in it. I am a sinner. I believe Jesus is what the Bible says. I believe he was my substitute. I'm confessing it today. And not just to get you off the hook to make you feel better, but because it's a real change you're going to make in your life. God's really going to change you. You're repenting of what you've done before. It means you're turning away from where you were. Is there anybody that say, you know what, I want to make that decision today? I have not, but I want to today. And you call out and say, dear Jesus, come in my heart, save me from my sins. If that's your desire, would you be willing to raise your hand and say, that's where I'm at, preacher? Nobody's looking around but me. Is there anybody? I see the hand. Is there anybody else? We're going to have a moment of invitation. Whatever God's put upon your heart, just let him deal. Let him do what he's got to do. Christians, we got a lot of work to do. Maybe you're not as bad as me. Maybe you find all those opportunities and you're just hitting home runs left and right. Well, then will you come pray for me, or will you sit and pray for me that God would use me the way he desires to use me and I get out of his way? This is your time with him. Father, we love you and we thank you for the examples of Paul. And God, I pray that as I sit here, there's probably examples of people in our lives that were just like that. God, I pray that we would desire to be and follow that example. Give us that burden, that heart. And I know that Holy Spirit lives inside of us to burden us that way. So God, I pray we would allow the Holy Spirit to have that reign in our lives, so that we could see some souls saved this year for your honor and glory. God, I pray that the baptism waters will be flowing over. I pray it won't be something we have to do at the end of the year. I pray it'll be something we do every month or every quarter. God, we love you and we're so thankful for what you've done. And I know in my heart, that's the only reason why I want to share your word is because of what you've done in my life. And if you would save me, I know you'll save them. Be with your church people. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. Amen. All right, we would like for you to join us. We have some fellowship in the back. I'm sure there's going to be lots of good food. Give somebody a word of encouragement. If you got to go, I understand. You're dismissed.